gentlemen, welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carr. I'm with my BFF, Kiana.
Hi.
How was your week?
It was pretty good. It's my memory of it. I think I felt like crap in the beginning of the week, and then feeling less like crap now for some reason. I don't know what's that about. But that was my week. How was your week?
Extremely fast. Extremely fast week.
Yeah. I felt the same way.
It was like, because I went on a retreat last week, and that's a whole nother story. I think I haven't talked to you about my retreat, but I'll tell for the stackers at home. But I was on a retreat last week, and I was on the other side of the retreat. So I was the one that was actually doing the service and like being a part of the coaching, all that stuff. And being on that side, like I thought I knew what leadership was. I thought I knew what service was. And I have long ways to go.
What do you mean? What
there's some things I realize that some people literally have like a gift of something in them that compels them to do these things, miraculous things, these amazing stories, and they're almost like wonderful people on earth. If that makes it. No one's perfect, but the strive for trying to be a great human is like. Was pretty remarkable to see.
Literally wonderful.
Literally wonderful people. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, ways to go. And then, but yeah, so anyway, we were like doing meetings like at 11 p.m. and then we had to wake up at 5 to set everything up, like to serve breakfast, like do all these things. Uh-huh. And then we're all day, right? All day. It's all day activities. And it's the same thing for like, so by the time I came back on Monday, it was like just go back to work. And then by Wednesday, I was like, I need to take off. Like I just don't have, because I haven't had time.
Are you guys wearing anything? I'm trying to imagine in my mind. For some reason, I'm imagining like a bouncy castle and Ren Faire garb, but it's not that obviously. No. But what does it look like?
It's kind of like a Brotherhood of Men, right? And you're on a ranch, and you're in the middle of nowhere. Like this is West Texas, so there's wilderness, beautiful night sky. There's no laptops, nothing. There's an event center of a sort, and then you have like chapels down there, and then there's like some housing, but there's mostly like just like these kind of camp houses where you can fit like 24 people in each one, and then there's people that come in with stuff, and but it's very quiet. It's like quiet. It's meditative.
You guys are like on bunk beds?
Yeah. No. We have our own bed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
And they're not comfortable. That's the other thing. They're just like, it's supposed to stir you in a.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole point.
Make you aesthetic. Yeah.
Like you're supposed to come back to reality and be like, oh, this is I was living like, you know what I mean? It's supposed to make you feel a little bit more.
Connected, maybe.
Connected.
Cool. But
yeah. Anyways, that was my week. I saw this show last week, or at least I skimmed through it. Dude. I can't watch the full show. It was. But Austin like did a great job. I actually realized that he knows a lot.
Oh yeah, he does. He
knows a lot about the space.
Yeah, he's a rising star. He's competing with you, Carr. You better watch out.
No, please take my place.
He's gonna have a podcast. He's gonna call it.
I'm ready to retire in San Antonio Thriller with G. I'm ready to retire in San Antonio with G. I'm just kidding. But yeah, you got an audience member. See, look at this. Every week. Did you guys have audience members last week? Did you guys have audience members next week?
Not really, except that we had they did that change, the switching out.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Well, how was that for you?
I was fine.
Fine? You were able to co-host two co-hosts?
I don't really do anything during this podcast, so I just kind of sit here and
set
my brain.
You're play-by-play. You're the color commentator. I'm play-by-play. Right? That's how it works. I'm play by play. You're color commentator.
I think so. I think you're like the straight facts more so. Maybe. I don't know. But you're both. I think I try to be
You
provide the structure.
But yeah.
Then you want to color commentate, really. Yeah, that's what you really
I only color commentate when you ask. I don't know if you've noticed lately. She's like, what do you think? Then but if you don't ask that, then I won't do it.
Rewind the tapes. Go look. See if that's true.
If you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top 5 stories on the front page of BitcoinStacker.news. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bull run, or at least it appears to be a bull run. We'll see. There's a lot of top five stories here this week. We're going to talk about all of them. The first top story is why stablecoin stable channels are dumb. October 17th, Bitcoin territory. This is from Super TSNet. 49 comments, 16,000 sats, baby boy. What is Super complaining about this week?
Well, he's, I wouldn't say he's a recurring complainer, but he's basically arguing that stablecoins and stable channels don't make much sense to him. He doesn't really see much.
He's always said that, though.
Yeah, I think he makes good arguments. I think it's hard to argue with the things he's saying here. I think there's one the top comment is by Peter Todd.
Oh, wow. Peter Todd came in?
Peter Todd came in. The one,
Well, first, just HBO's real quick, what did he say? real quick, what did Super say real quick on all this? Just the main four things here?
Yeah, the main four things. It has a trusted third party, so there's, like, all kinds of rug pulls and shotgun KYC and, you know, the third party not participating or colluding against you. Obviously fiat is a worse store of value. As a medium of exchange, stable coins and stable channels are subject to all the same limitations that Lightning or Bitcoin is, because they're all using blockchains, or in the case of stable channels, Lightning. And then unit of account is maybe the more interesting one, because he basically argues that most point of sale systems have solved this problem, and you don't, if you're accepting Bitcoin, you don't have to worry about denominating prices in fiat. You can have, you know, a real-time fiat to Bitcoin conversion. So if your cheeseburger is $10, at the time of sale, you can say, I need this much Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And so he said that's more or less solved, which is true. But I think the one thing is short-term store of value. It's like, is basically the argument against this, is that some people need a stable short-term store of value, and that's basically where stable coins where stable coins or fiat comes into play for those people.
So what did Peter Todd say here then?
Right here. He said they're just different. He said there's a better short-term value for people who need to store fiat. So if they have like fiat obligations, they need to pay bills or something. Say they don't have access to a bank account, they can't actually get access to real fiat. But they have fiat obligations that they need to pay something in fiat. They can hold, say, some of their paycheck. They know their electricity bill for $100 is coming in 10 days. They can store it in a stable coin and meet that obligation. They can know for certain they're going to be able to meet that obligation in 10 days because they denominated their store of value in the using the unit of account that.
Oh wow, Jimmy responded here too, huh?
Yeah, it was a.
Oh wow, so Jimmy came in. What did Jimmy? So Jimmy said, "I agree with everything you said, but for the billions of people that can't get dollar bank accounts and don't trust Bitcoin yet, something like USDT is not a bad first step." Super said, "If they don't trust Bitcoin yet, why would they trust USDT? It has more trust assumptions, not less. A good first step toward trusting Bitcoin is trying it." Wow. Look at Super Testnet. Jimmy Song came back and says, because they've grown up trusting the dollar. You have to understand that for most people in the world, dollars are the best store of value. They've known because their own currency debase is faster, but soundly, most don't have access to dollar bank accounts. And if they save it all with cash, that doesn't work very well. In other words, the gap between what they already trust, dollars, is what they're asked to trust, USDT, is smaller than the gap. If you want to see how stablecoins and Bitcoin are perceived on the ground, go to a country like Turkey or Indonesia and talk to the people actually using it. Many of them get into Bitcoin after some good experiences with stablecoins. Where do you fall on this? Do you have an opinion?
I think Super's points are valid. I just think for the short-term store of value thing, for someone who has fiat obligations due in a short time period, I think it probably makes sense. It's not something I would do, but for someone who's living on a slim margin of error for their finances, and they can't afford for Bitcoin's price to take a dip the day before they have to pay a bill, it seems like it probably it makes practical sense for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to pay their bills. But otherwise, I don't, you know, I think Jimmy has a point, too, where these, you know, people who are like in Zimbabwe or Venezuela or whatever have had these massive currency depreciations. It's like a less, you know, USDT is a lesser evil than their local currency, and they can't get access to, you know, actual fiat dollars. So there's, I have sympathy for that side, too. It doesn't seem like anyone's really disagreeing.
No.
It seems like they're all just making different
points. I think it's both at the same time, if that makes any sense. At least how I see it in my head is it's just a proliferation of the United States dollar and its power over the world. That's how I see it. And so whenever I see, like, what did Super say? What was the original question? Why supercoins are dumb? I wouldn't call them dumb. I mean, maybe he was just doing that for the sats, but I would say to me, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense to, and maybe that's what Super's trying to say. To me, it doesn't make any sense because it's just further solidifying the United States dollar's dominance over the world. And isn't that the reason we got into Bitcoin in the first place, was to remove that centralized power of a sort, even though it's still transacting on the same layer of it? It's kind of like having like a, it's kind of like living in a town that's run by like really bad people and then saying, but we can do whatever we want. We're in the town of really bad people, you know?
I don't know.
Did you ever see, it's a perfect example. Did you ever see Walking Dead? Remember when they were living in that?
I stopped watching when Negan became the main character.
Remember when they were living in the prison, and they were like, "Oh, this is great. We're living in the prison. Like, we're safe now." And then Carl and Rick was like, "No, Carl, we're not safe. We gotta keep moving." And that's kind of what I see here. It's just like we're still in prison, but like in this kind of dollar fiat jail of a sort, if that makes any sense. I don't know how to like merge these two things in my head together, but that's what's coming out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Probably
I do
not.
See what you're saying is that, yeah, it's like a prison. It's a, you know, even if you have the keys to the prison, you're still in a prison.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Which is like, you know, you could still get trapped inside of it.
Which maybe. I'm saying was what the dollar, and maybe that's what Super Saiyan is dumb, but it sounds like he says these things are dumb.
Yeah.
To me, that's what's dumb about the whole thing. It's kind of like you're dancing on the grave of, like, it's just, to me, it doesn't make any sense. It's just, like, weird.
I think they're, like, very...
Because why wouldn't you just take dollars?
It's a way more nuanced thing, because they don't have access to dollars. They're not in the United... We have access to dollars. If there's any Bitcoiner who's like, yeah, super... dollars are shit, all this is shit, and they have a U.S. denominated, like a U.S. dollar denominated bank account, they're LARPing. You know, and so I think you can agree with Super, but practically you don't practice what you preach.
I don't think he has a bank.
Super does. Yeah, I mean, Super, I think, practice what he preaches, but yeah. I think anyone who's like, yeah, Super, that's right, fiat is shit, and then they have like a Bank of America account or whatever.
That's why I compared it to Walking Dead, because I feel like eventually I'm going to be like, no, let's cross over the bridge now. Safe.
They had a bridge?
No, I think it ended up getting overrun, but they were gardening there. It was like a full-on garden.
I remember. I was like, wow, that's a great
idea.
And
they were living in the sales and stuff, and it was a great, that was a great season. And then after that, that's when they met Negan. And
Negan just destroyed them. Let's turn the villain into the lead character. Wouldn't that be great? People love.
See, that's the dollar where they're literally trying to turn the like Bitcoin already has these features. They're trying to turn Tether into the United States dollar into the real thing. It's kind of
Negan is a shit coin, guys. Other shows try to do that too. I'm like, you're ruining it.
Yeah, I don't know why they were thinking.
Villains don't need to be central.
First three seasons, really good. First two for sure. The next top story is Bitcoin's false dichotomy between store value and what is it, a medium exchange, by Roy Shenfield Breeze. 29 comments from DS, October 16th, Bitcoin territory. This had 30,000 sats, a 10K boost. Thank you. Yeah, Guillaume, what's this?
Yeah, this is great. So Roy wrote this, and then DS, I think, works for Breeze and does content for Breeze and translates us into a native Stacker News post.
Is that a fake AI image?
It is. It's a.
Oh, yeah. You can tell by the cup.
What do they call it? Grok X's Grok AI.
Yeah, didn't fool me.
What's wrong with the cup?
Right there. It's just off.
It's like a weird shape.
Well, it's not. Yeah, it's a weird. Like, she's holding it like this, and there's no way you can hold a cup like that. And then also the way it's, like, kind of curved, bent.
You can hold a cup like that.
So you don't see cups like that.
Not in the United States, you don't. That's more like a Europe, Asia thing. They have smaller
handcrafted
cups.
Maybe. But she's not from Europe, Asia. She looks like she's from America.
She does look like, yeah. American.
So all right, so.
She could be like Nigerian living in Europe. She could be. So that's.
I think her hair would be down. I feel like her hair would be down if she was Nigerian. I mean, what do I know?
You don't know that. You don't know that her hair should be down if she's Nigerian. anyway, Roy is basically arguing that store value and minimum exchange are more related than we give them credit for, and Bitcoin specifically has more minimum exchange qualities than a lot of the influencers that perhaps dominant at this period of time would have you believe. Because a lot the overwhelming narrative in Bitcoin right now, at least among a certain class of Bitcoiner, is that Bitcoin is a store of value, and Bitcoin, the like native asset, won't be able to provide medium of exchange. And so Roy is arguing that you don't really get store of value without medium of exchange. It's more like the same thing operating on different time scales. And Bitcoin exhibits a lot of qualities that you would see in a medium of exchange, as is simply, if you simply look at the exchange volumes and trading activity, that's more suggestive of a medium exchange, or that it has the properties that are suitable for a medium exchange, because people do not do the same thing with actual gold, with like these assets that aren't really sufficient for as a medium of exchange in practice. I wasn't able to give this as much due as I wanted to. I had to kind of skim through
It's pretty heavy.
It's a great post. I was really only able to read 25% before this podcast started, but he goes through several key historical monies and looking at them as store value and medium exchange to bolster his overall point that store value and medium exchange tend to flock together in an asset. And and says, talks a lot about, the state of Bitcoin. Breeze is iterating towards making several iterations, several improvements on non-custodial Lightning UX right now with Breeze SDK. We're seeing more and more applications integrate Breeze SDK. And that'll likely get better. LND has finalized their stable coin stuff, so they're probably they seem to be coming back online to get caught up with the protocol updates that have happened while they were doing that. And so I think we're going to see a pretty rapid improvement in Lightning UX. This is kind of foreshadowing that a little bit. Talks about like the legal hurdles and stuff, and that people in the West, most of the influencer class lives in the West, are probably have a different perspective of the medium exchange, because our legal systems are more prohibitive of medium exchange usage of Bitcoin than the rest of the world, and so that might be painting our image of Bitcoin towards more store value than it should be. Yeah.
Anyway, there's this last part right here where he talks about, he goes, preaching benefits to preacher. He said, school, he goes, there's an undertone in the rants of the store value proponents. Like, why do you care what we all do with our Bitcoin? If store value and medium exchange necessary overlap, why lecture everyone that Bitcoin is actually a store value exclusively? Nobody's hindering their preferred use. So what gives? Remember, the US dollar, USA convinced the world to go long on USD. If you convince the world to hoard what you've already started hoarding, then you're in a very good position. Yeah, I call that fiat Bitcoiners. Like, those are fiat Bitcoiners because they have a fiat mindset still. Doesn't mean that they're not Bitcoiners. They are Bitcoiners. They're just still thinking in these fiat terms. I think that's when I see out there, I see a lot of that. It's just a lot of LARPing and a lot of fiat mentality just cloaked around that kind of Bitcoiner thing. It's good that he calls it out, though.
Yeah, I think...
I've said it negatively. He says it more eloquently, obviously.
I think Breeze is... I think Roy and Breeze are one of the...
Yeah,
I think the realist. It's weird because you don't hear them talked about nearly at all.
Well, it's because he tells the truth. That's what... When people aren't talked about in Bitcoin, it's because those are the people actually speaking the truth. That's what I've come to understand 4 years doing this. And that's why I have a lot of respect for people like Roy.
It's just kind of odd to me, but...
To me, I've kind of accept that about the Bitcoin space. And weirdly enough, I kind of like that because it, for me, it points the direction of the people that you should be talking to and working with.
Yeah. It's like, there's a lot of Jim Cramers in Bitcoin of a certain kind.
Looks like we got the top comment from Roy. He said, thanks for sharing. Oh, yeah, because he is a stacker, too. I forgot about that. Mm. OT said, good point on the UX. We need to get Lightning payments so trustworthy that people can mindlessly one-tap pay the product. Thanks for sharing. It's a great article. Yeah, I use Breeze on my graphing. It works. Thank you for the post.
It was my first non-custodial Bitcoin node on a phone before switching to Mutiny. Mm-hmm. Now that shut down, and now... I just run my home node now, but I'm curious about other Bitcoin nodes on a phone.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you use
for my?
What do you use for your wallet? Or maybe you don't have to share it, but what have you heard out there? What are the plebs using? Don't say Moon. I mean, you can say Moon if that's whatever. Oh, Yopaki?
Yopaki. Yeah.
CoinOS Strike. Okay.
Yeah,
there you go. That's what the plebs are using in San Antonio.
A lot of I'm seeing at least on Stacker News, we're seeing a lot more AlbiHub stuff recently.
Everybody's giving it a shot.
CoinOS is a big one, as G said. A lot of
you're using CoinOS for Stacker News. Oh, nice. There you go. Stackers, you got choices out there. Cool. The next top story is bet on the U.S. election with Sats on Bitcoin prediction.market. This is from Hyperbitcoinization, October 13th, Bitcoin territory, 103 comments, 130K boosts. Wow. 8,110 sats. Buddy, next time put that in the builder's territory.
Right. You take a nice take. See how I did that
right
that.
There?
Yeah, it's got to weave it in.
Got to weave it in.
Yeah, that's how you line your pockets. Slowly, steadily, hey, sneakily.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, this was the top boost.
It's good that he dropped it in the Bitcoin territory because he spreads out the sats more to everybody, right?
No, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 70% of that went to me.
You asshole. drop it in territory next time.
I mean, I am at a huge loss financially on Sacrinus, but...
No, I'm kidding.
I just wanted to... It's mostly for me being able to test the...
Which is the one that they drop
notifications and stuff.
Which is the one they drop in. I thought so. The boost goes to the stackers. What goes to the stackers?
So 30% of all territory revenue goes to the rewards pool, but 70% goes to the territory founder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I need to start recruiting.
I got 70% of this.
Maybe that's the hidden magic with the territories. Maybe you just start recruiting stackers to go out and source stuff for your territory.
Oh, it's community work. You really gotta be a community organizer.
Just to start tagging people on all my posts. All right, go for it. What's this about?
Yeah, tagging's annoying. I'm gonna let people gate their tag, their like mentions with payments. Because people overdo it. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so this is the top boost possibly ever. I don't think we've got a higher boost before, but this is currently a top boost on Stacker News. Pinned it to the homepage.
Is it a website or something?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a website. There you go.
They're a Lightning-based prediction market, and currently, I think, I don't know if they have many topics that you can bet on, but, you know, primarily people are betting on the election right now because that's coming up, and it has I think the market mechanism is fairly straightforward. You I think you buy shares in a certain side of the outcome, and then the losers, whatever they paid, gets divided among the winners proportional to the amount of shares that they have. I think you don't even need to authenticate. You just give a Lightning address and send them money, and you'll get your payout is how it works. And
who made this?
I don't know.
I don't see anybody's name on this.
I didn't see an about page either, but
I guess
you might be able to do some investigation and figure it out.
Oh, there you go. Co-founder, CEO of Bitcoin Prediction Market. Follow me on X. Okay. There we go. Billy Hong Beats. So this guy, it looks like made that. Oh, there you go. He's from Wolf.
Oh, he did Wolf.
There okay. you go.
He went to Yale. Look at that. He's a.
Oh,
he's
you went to Yale?
Yeah, he said math and CS at Yale.
There you go. Good. We found out. So he's going to do a presidential election bet, it looks like.
This is the bet. This is the prediction markup. This is what you are betting on with Lightning right now. So, yeah, I think he mentions in the post there that he wants to potentially use eCash instead. So I think that you can use the eCash notes as your authentication, which is a cool use of eCash. I think probably one of the better uses of eCash, like the main like UX advantages of eCash is that it's like self-authenticating.
Have you played with
it? I haven't done it. I'm sure there's a lot of comments in there. I know EK is really into prediction markets. He probably has some opinions on it and probably shared some insight into maybe what can be done. But it's a very simple, it's an MVP that, you know, the very simple mechanism, but you can see all the people who are in this bet right now. There's some stackers in there.
It's really interesting.
Who do you think is going to win? What would you bet? Who would you bet?
I don't know. I think I can. I mean, we've been saying this forever. I mean, I feel like we just need a sports betting thing. I think just got to keep it really simple.
They might have sports on here. I don't know if they have it right? yet.
There's a sports betting one? Oh, they don't have Lightning. Okay.
Blockchain? Oh, it's like DLC. Yeah, I think I've seen that. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're getting there. Bitcoin is going to have these markets.
It'll be interesting to see. Because at some point, I mean, they have to get created, right?
Awesome. Yeah, people love betting. People love gambling.
Where are we at here? Yeah, do you have anything else to add?
I mean, not really. I know Darth Coin was pretty upset about it.
Oh, really? What did Darth Coin say?
I mean, you can kind of imagine, but I remember.
Is it cool to bet with your sense? That means do not appreciate your sense. Oh, yeah. He gets in fights with Blockchain Boog about that, too. Yeah, he does that all the time. Where Boog will post
betting stuff. Yeah. Yeah, Darthcoin. Darthcoin's pretty.
He'll call out Boog, and then Boog comes underneath and goes, "Don't say anything about my sense. Don't tell me how to spend my sense."
Darthcoin's pretty consistent.
That's what Boog says every time.
No gambling, no fiat, no shit coining.
Yeah,
probably sort of the same class of thing. It's pretty consistent actually. Yeah, but some people really have an itch. I mean, I don't have the itch. I would probably be an addict if I had the itch.
Gamble and stuff?
Yeah, I don't have the itch at all.
I think that for me, it was like a younger phase. I was like in my 20s. I used to love going on. They used to have these casino boats in South Texas. We would get on the casino boat. Did you ever get on one, G? Oh, dude, they're amazing. Yeah, gambling's a totally
good.
Yeah. A lot of degenerates, yeah.
Yeah, now I can, pay off my car.
You should just do the whole Texas Lotto on on Bitcoin.
Oh, that would be cool. I mean,
how would that work though? How would that work? I guess it would just be escrow. You can drop it on. No, right?
It might be like you might be able to use a DLC for it. Maybe you would. There'd be a lot of on-chain transactions. Probably like each lotto ticket would be an on-chain.
Maybe that's where people should head towards. Is forget the whole like betting gambling thing. Go after the freaking lottery. Go after the lottery.
I mean, that was some of the earliest stuff that happened on Bitcoin with lottery and gambling and stuff. I mean, it's in a weird, all this stuff is in a legal gray area.
Everything's in a legal gray area. That's why you go after the most salacious thing.
Go bold. That's like,
go bold or go like home. The, one go of the, big or go home.
One of the first few laws of power.
Oh, is it really?
It's go bold. I think so. I don't know, though.
I thought it was the, what they say in Dune, it's like fear as a weapon.
Are we talking about the same thing?
You're talking about probably talking something. I'm talking about.
I see. Okay. You guys have been moving the lab. Yeah.
The next top story is we don't need more Bitcoin merchants. Man, what's going on? So Bitcoin territory, October 12th from Santor. 45 comments, 23 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Santor is arguing that we already have plenty of Bitcoin merchants, and what we really need is more Bitcoin customers. We need more people willing to spend. And I think that makes sense. That fits with what you'd expect, given that Bitcoin's value appreciates and, you know, most consumers have bad money and merchants are going to want good money. And so as, you know, Bitcoin becomes more popular, you can expect more merchants to accept Bitcoin.
Every cycle. It just gets more and more in. More people come in every cycle.
Yeah, but I think I think what he's arguing is that disproportionately, but we're going to see more merchants and less spenders. And he's saying what we need to change is spending habits. And he's an advocate for spend and replace. And I try, you know, my comment in here is mostly there aren't really active incentives for you to be a spender. It's like you have to have a very long, you have to have a low time preference to be a spender. You have to want a Bitcoin economy to emerge. That's the reason why you spend now as a Bitcoiner, perhaps. That's like the main motivation. Most people aren't like that inherently. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you're not going to see a lot of spenders. So maybe advocating for spend and replace isn't the right thing. Maybe we should be advocating for more of like living on a Bitcoin standard, because then you're by default a Bitcoin spender. You can't avoid it.
Yeah.
Merchants to only accept Bitcoin, not accept fiat.
I think it's just certain areas. I've come to the realization that I think it's just in certain areas that it'll just like click for people, and there's just other places that it won't click, and that's okay. I think Austin is one of those places where you can spend Bitcoin in some places, and some people will, like all the people, our big community will take Bitcoin for services rendered and stuff. So I think it's, at least from what I can tell, it feels like it's more of that. But yeah, I don't know if we need more Bitcoin merchants. I don't know. What were you telling me today about the lady that you were talking to? And she was telling you, like, she was like, oh, you can do that with Bitcoin? Like,
when I did my taxes, so I showed her how to do it on Cash App.
And she was like blown away.
She didn't know how easy it was.
Oh, cool. This is how I paid her to do my taxes. Wow. So I think she got some Bitcoin?
Well, I paid her $1, but I showed her how to get Bitcoin now.
I see. So she could acquire some easily.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it's just that. I think it's just we still got a long ways to go informing people.
Oh, we do. Yeah. We're years away.
You got Radio, big fan of the show.
This is
Michael.
Yeah.
He says this has been the main cognitive dissonance in Bitcoin for several years now. Stacking versus spending. There really is no practical incentive to spend. There's also a network effect that Bitcoin just doesn't have yet. It's easy to critique TradFi platforms like Venmo or PayPal for being closed systems, but Bitcoin is not all that different right now. You don't have any Bitcoin. It is just another payment platform you don't have access to and doesn't work with anything you have. Someone may as well be asking you to Venmo them, and sadly, you don't have Venmo. He's actually, that's why I think it's going to be a cultural shift, and it's going to happen through music. And I've been saying that for the longest time, and I think he's a part of that group that's going to make it happen. Because the fact that once it starts getting out there culturally, just like all great technologies do, it's game over. And then everybody will get it. What do you think?
I think adoption will probably mostly follow price.
That's a safe assumption.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best predictor of adoption is price, and then that'll also drive UX improvements,
Which you don't think it'll happen like the internet? Remember when we were growing up, there's like no internet, and then DSL came out, and there's just like everybody had internet all of a sudden, and then the iPhone came out, and then literally everybody had it, and then like that changed everything again. It was like two things that happened. America Online, DSL, iPhone.
Well, the reason why we all got DSL modems is because you got more value. You got a high value from the internet. And so Bitcoin would have to bring you a much higher value experience of something for like anything but the price to
drive
adoption. So if you're saying that better music is going to get made
culturally,
if better music is going to get made because a platform has Bitcoin on and musicians can get paid Bitcoin, I would agree with you. But that suggests that the limiting factor for music getting made and art getting made is that the currency sucks. And I'm not so sure.
Well, that's exactly the thing. So that's the thing I'm saying is those people that are these creatives, these musicians, these artists aren't making any money. And that's where it's going to come from, because they're going to be the ones that have to adopt Bitcoin first. That's what you see what I'm saying? It's similar to what happened.
That's a merchant though. So we're trying to talk about the spender side. I agree with you. The creator might have a benefit of collecting Bitcoin, but who's the spender side is really the mass adoption moment when people begin wanting to spend it. And I'm not sure that happens.
Amazon was already there technically. And people had credit cards they could spend on the internet at that time, if I'm remembering. But the internet didn't have adoption though. They were just entirely early.
It was just a better communication mechanism for most people. It provided higher value than the other communication mechanisms that they had, or news or venues that they could get news in. And so that's what I'm saying is, like, if music is really going to drive adoption, what's going to happen is the musicians who are accepting Bitcoin are going to produce better music than.
I don't think it's going to produce better music. It's just not going to be able to have.
Well, that's the way I think it drives adoption, if it does drive adoption. Yeah. And I mean, I think these services will be really popular. I'm just not sure if it can.
We'll be here trying to see what happens.
Stacker News has a similar problem.
Talk about it.
Well, I don't have anything to say other than unless better content is and like discourse is had on Stacker News, Stacker News's growth is going to follow Bitcoin adoption and not the other way around. And so, if that's that's has to be my goal, is to make sure that
rich content is coming on there.
Better content than what would appear on a site without Bitcoin would be on Stacker News. Better discourse, you learn more, whatever the value.
That's interesting. The next top story is Stacker Sports Pod, episode 1. It's all downhill from here. This is Listen on Fountain. Stacker Sports Territory, October 13th. From a discipline, 55 comments, 17,000 sets. What is this, Keel?
Yeah, so this is a bit meta, but I thought we'd cover it because I know these guys.
Do you know them? Really?
Well, I know online. These guys would appreciate it. I don't know them in person, no, but we get to hear their voice in this podcast.
And we're live.
I'm surprised.
All right. Welcome to
the Discipline's voice. It feels like young Sheldon.
Podcast. Yeah, they sound really young.
I'm undisciplined.
For some reason, they're just so, they're like, I think their thinking is so mature that it makes you think that they're perhaps not.
Yeah,
not young, but they sound.
Yeah, whenever I see people's posts in here, I just imagine like Siggy, right?
I think the fact of the matter is, on average, we're probably old people now.
Dude, we are old. We are definitely old. I was feeling it today when
you're moving.
We're moving stuff.
Gosh. Yeah, that'll remind you, eh?
Yeah. Cool, but yeah, check out the podcast. I listened to like the first like 10 minutes of it. It's good.
Stacker Sports
Pod. I wish I was into
sports.
Yes, dude. I used to be like hardcore Cowboys, Spurs, like all the time. Like,
it has to be fun.
It was a lot of fun. That was when my life was simple back then.
Something to root for.
Yeah,
yeah. That doesn't involve the CIA trying to come after you.
No, they were coming after me then, too.
Really?
No, they're I'm like, just kidding.
Dallas Cowboys suck.
Dallas. No. Yeah, no, now these days you got all sorts of agencies coming after you. It's tough. It's tough being a Bitcoiner these days.
I'm just making jokes because Bitcoiners are notoriously paranoid.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought that was
excellent. Check it out.
Check it.
Check it out. And that's all the five top stories of the week. We're going to jump into, let's jump into Meta, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, did you not have top stories?
Yeah, I did, but wait, don't we do Meta before my stories or no?
No, I think we do yours.
Oh, we do. You're throwing it off because you don't have any stories you're with this week. Okay, we'll do Meta last.
Well, the only thing I would mention is...
No, no,
okay.
We're going to promote this thing. Right. This we're going to TabConf next week. The crew, Plublub crew's coming to Atlanta to hack, apparently. Apparently, I heard there's a fart-changing app or something built on Ost or something that's getting built. That's what
a fart changer? I think somebody, Farcaster?
Somebody wants to build like a fart app on Ost. We'll see.
Oh, cool.
What is it called? Fartcaster? That's what I heard.
That's pretty dope.
I don't know. These guys?
So what happens, though? Do you get like a DM and it's just like a gaping?
I don't know what they're going to do.
Okay.
With these guys, you never know. They didn't want to hack. They told me ahead of time. They're like, we don't want to hack this time. But now they're like, they're going to make me pay.
Dude, who's rich? Who's funding this prize?
Folger. This is Folger.
Those rich guys, dude.
Dude, shout out. Shout out Michaeli and Oleg and that whole group.
Shout out.
Anyways, yeah. So sign up. It's down here. Sign up. Read the thing. If you don't, I saw it today. We have a Signal chat too. So ask questions on the Signal chat. But I was going to say, if you can't make it, they have a grant there that you can sign up for on their website, TabConf does. And then also, you can, if you want to participate in the hackathon, just make sure somebody's there. And then you can have a kind of a remote thing, basically, where as long as there's somebody there physically to present for you.
Then you need an avatar.
You need a real world avatar.
Yeah, you need an avatar present at TabConf to represent you.
Still waiting for somebody out there to create a hackathon platform that we can all use.
Oh, what about...
But like a real remote, like a remote hackathon platform.
Is isn't that what...
Bolt.fun was doing it, but they're gone.
Well, there's Bolt Fun.
They're gone now. They're not.
And then not Santos. Anymore. What about Santos? Did he?
I don't think he's.
He didn't continue working on it.
It's a lot of work, dude.
Oh yeah.
Maybe he'll bring it back. Anyways, we have categories. I think we're getting another prize in there too. And then I think. Oh, okay. He already added the hardware hack.
What category is Fartcaster going to be in? That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know. Probably best hack overall, maybe Fartcaster.
Okay, Fartcaster is like, yeah, it's really
that
in
could,
the
that could probably be.
General category.
I think everybody's getting super, everybody wants to like make like an Idiocracy app or something. Like, did you ever see Idiocracy?
I did see Idiocracy.
Like, yeah.
Well, what would be the app for Idiocracy?
The Fartcaster.
Oh, I see.
Fartcaster. It's just like a butt and it just farts.
I see.
That's all it
does. Oh, it's a hardware device.
Could be
the start of your Apple for Bitcoin.
I don't mind being the
Fartcaster.
I don't mind being the butt that the farts come out of. I don't mind doing that. Just like
it's not a bad gig.
Like one of those.
Oof. All right.
Anyways.
TabConf 6. It's
TabConf
going on.
TabConf 6, dude.
It's going to be next a big
week.
One.
Next week. The next one I wanted to bring up was this one. How recent music layoffs compared to the post-Napster years. I think you'll get a kick out of this. So, There's been two decades ago, the businesses endured huge layoffs amid a painful period of sales decline. The experts say that the industry's cyclical nature is more to blame. Basically, what's been going on for the past 2 years is like the music industry has been getting smaller and smaller, and it's compacting. It's really interesting because it, like, you know this, like, we've lived long enough, we're old, that usually technologies hit the music industry first, and then that's when everything else kind of...
That's the way you see the world, yes, I agree.
It's true, though.
That's the way you see the world.
It's true.
Bitcoin helps happen through music, everything
dude, happened
through music
it happened in the 1920s, too. Like, they had sound, they could capture sound, record sound, before they actually had film. And then when they had film, they didn't know how to make sound. So they
I
had
call
to.
That information technology, Car. And information technology
let me finish the thing.
Yeah.
Let me finish. So anyway, long story short, everything's plummeting. It's all bad. I've been looking into this just because, like, I just like to look into this kind of stuff. Kanye, your favorite person in the world, said some things.
So that means 30.
I'm just playing this for the Stackers.
If she had a 7% conversion rate for people to buy her album at $1, $10, or $20, whatever the cost is, that would be 35 million albums sold. So she's working her ass off making vinyl and all this shit to even barely sell a million. And they gasp.
So he's basically saying that the numbers that are out there on the streaming services, everything, they don't rake in anything. It's all artificial numbers to promote ticket sales, live ticket sales. That's all it's used for. It's fiat, to quote Jimmy's song. What's interesting is the more you dive into it, the more you start realizing that it's actually by design, though. So Wall Street actually jumped in like 2 years ago or whatever it was, and they started buying these rights, turning the pop songs that we all know and love into how do they describe assets, a new asset class. So what's fascinating is now, if you scroll down here it goes right there. So Blackstone majority. So they're grabbing all these songs, they're lumping them into a fund, and then they're distributing it onto Spotify to make that return, right? And so you can go and read all that. But so this is where it really throws a wrench in the wheel, because this is where AI is coming in now. And now what Spotify's doing to fight back with that, they're making their own songs with their own artists, dropping them in the same playlist, to then make that recoup that money back to stop what they're doing. So do you see how this is like, it's a really interesting.
Well, it sounds like you have like song derivatives, like kind of like we had like mortgage backed securities. We have like, we have a derivative of songs. We're packaging them up.
Yes.
Yeah. Putting a risk.
But they're so, but now Spotify is doing the same thing too, where they're saying, well, we're just going to make our own music. We're going to make our own artists. So people who we think are actually artists on Spotify probably aren't artists on Spotify. I mean, they're, dude, you might have to go and check.
Taylor Swift isn't real. I've been simping for.
I'm saying she probably could just be a bot. I'm saying the next Taylor Swift could be a bot. So this just all gets us into a world of like, dude, it's becoming very strange really, really fast. Had Wild Hustle. He jumped in my comments and he said, what did he say? I don't see him on here. Anyways, check it out. It started off here, post-naps years. No one commented on it, but it got some sats. I think it's incredible to see how this is all going to play out, because I don't know how it's going to play out. Like, it's a little bit different this time, because now there's AI you can come back with. And so what happens to those old songs? So when you really think about it, and you kind of like, at least in my head, the way I worked it out was like, all the creative people who are doing like producing all this stuff are gatekeeping past and future creatives. Like, would be stomping the bots, because those AI bots technically are creative people that are leveraging those technologies first. Anyways, I want to get Sam and Michael on the pod again to talk about all this stuff, because I think it's like, I would love to get their insights on like what they're seeing and like how they, because it's getting more fleshed out now, like, right? Like, and this is where I think like real musicians will flock to Bitcoin and some of these services searching for gains.
Because they're getting outcompeted in the fiat world by AI, is that the idea?
That and these other kind of trusts or whatever they are, these asset class.
Do you think those are bad for music?
I don't know. I don't really know.
I imagine it allows the artists to get paid up front, and that's probably why they've emerged, is because the artists can, you know, sell their music before it's even released on these streaming platforms. You know, with some, they price it at some level and they give them money in advance. And, you know, the time value of money and stuff makes that advantageous for the artist who might on Spotify make no money if, you know, no one listens to it, it doesn't hit. It's really interesting though. This like financialization of information like this.
Yeah, this is where like it just goes back to that whole data data is the new oil type of thing. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's the old oil now, but yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, it just, like, now it's your kind of, and it's just what you said earlier. Like, maybe we're just all optimizing for the most richest content that we can find. Maybe that's the golden jewel of it all. Is like, maybe it's not so much about generating data and all that stuff. Maybe it's more about like where's the next, like where's the, what's
surprise. The surprise? It's surprise. What you want is like the most anomalous information, the most surprising information, the information that like expands your worldview, your experience, like gives you the mm-hmm. most experience.
Yeah. So this, it just kind of makes it more bullish on super creative, super geniuses like that. Like the in a sea of mediocrity, you're gonna find that one.
Yeah, the standout until AI is trained on them, and they, you know, they produce 1,000 Justin Biebers or whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, thought that was fascinating. But yeah, that's all my stories this week.
Cool. The only other one I wanted to mention was Super did a summary of Superscalar, which is a...
Where's that? Down here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this one.
It's a layer two proposal that's like similar to Arc, but isn't Arc. It doesn't require a soft fork. It has some like trust assumptions in it. I still haven't read it yet, but this will probably be some weekend reading for me. But it's one of the more interesting proposals. What's nice is like some of the philosophy behind it is basically they start with the assumption that a soft fork will not happen in Bitcoin anymore. It's just that, and so they're like, how do we get, you know, these layer two solutions that we might need similar to something like an Arc without a soft fork? And that's a cool assumption to start from, because it's very hard starting conditions. And they derive a layer two and Super analyzes it.
Cool. I'm sure, dude, Super's either going to figure it out or destroy Bitcoin, one or the other. I'm bullish on him figuring
destroy
it out.
Destroy Bitcoin.
Or figure. I have a feeling he's going to figure it out, though.
The Oppenheimer of Bitcoin.
Let's hope not. Cool. That's all. Oh, you know, you had Meta, didn't you?
Yeah, we have Meta.
What was the Meta? Is it under Meta?
Yeah, so rather than going to the ballot box on November 5th, Stacker News is casting a ballot for non-custodial Lightning. Mm-hmm. And we are going to switch to a non-custodial wallet on Stacker News. That was on. Where it was on the it? Top. It's pinned on the top page, on the
I
front page.
It.
You go to the front page, you're in Meta right now. You just go to the front page. There you go, that pinned one, the second post there.
This one.
That right. one.
So you had to even click on it this week. There you go.
Look how slow that baby's loading.
I was like, I'll take a look at this later.
anyway, it's like the FAQ. We're describing what's going to happen exactly on November 5th.
What's happening November 5th?
November 5th, Stacker News is no longer going to have a custodial wallet that you can zap with.
Wow, look at that.
It can store rewards.
They said it couldn't be done, though. Were you sure?
Well, I'm not sure if it can be done, but we're gonna make the switch, and we're gonna try.
Well, everybody was said that you can't do non-custodial. Coob.
Oh, you definitely can.
No, Coob. You can't do non-custodial.
You definitely can do non-custodial. You know, on a relative basis, it's you know, people don't like it, and it creates a lot of friction. But you can definitely do it, and we're gonna do our darndest to get it done. So that's what we're doing. And I describe, you know, the whole situation here for stackers who are curious what exactly they
need. 318 comments. That's a lot of comments. Is that people the most commented?
No, I think we have another post that has like
500.
Yeah, over that now, but it's one of the bigger ones. We get a lot of opinions. I got lots of DMs from people.
DMs? What do you mean?
You know, people are like, "Oh, what are you doing?" type of DMs. "Oh, is this the right thing to do? How about this? Why don't you move to Venezuela or whatever?"
Really? People were telling you this?
Well, stuff like that. And it's like, you know, but I think, you know, they're mostly like, "I love the product. Is this going to make the product into something I don't love anymore?" Was mainly their concern, which is a nice concern to have. But yeah, so lots of opinions and thoughts on it, but we're going to give it a real go.
I think it's going to be fine, dude. I don't think anybody's going to notice, to be honest. We'll I think see. I think some people will notice, but most people will just be like, you know.
I don't. It'll definitely be.
I think the Cowboy credits. That's probably where I'm going to land in. I don't.
You're not going to hook it up.
I mean, I'm going to try and give it a good go, but I think I'm like you. I'm like at some point, Super Testing or somebody will fix this, and that's where we'll move to. But this just forces us to do things hard for right now. It doesn't mean it's always going to be this hard. It's just hard for now, and that's it.
I'm really excited about it. I've learned a lot about Lightning and its limitations, and I think we're going to all learn that together. Anyone who's trying this on Stacker News, and I think that I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah, but it's like we talk about this all the time, but hard things are good for you. Usually if things are hard and it requires you to level up or step outside yourself to want to do better or more, mm-hmm. that's the right direction. Yep. It's when the things are like, oh no, it's easy, or yeah. like, oh, it's here you go, it's like that's not good for you. Like, that's actually bad for you. Like, you're gonna regret that you had it that easy. Trust me, I know from experience. So I'm glad that you're doing it the hard way.
Yeah, you can like order.
Look at Jimmy. Even Jimmy sees it. Thank you.
Jimmy, I mean, Jimmy's probably been wanting this forever. Jimmy's been in the scene a long time and knows that custodial services don't go well. So probably happy that we're destroying this kind of tumor of Stacker News.
Yeah, anybody else chime in?
Trying to think of anything.
Kind of stand it out?
Most of it was pretty nuanced, very thoughtful. We got a few people who were a little bit aggro about it, but you know, that's just kind of normal. A lot of people chipped in and started writing guides, how they connected their wallets.
There you go.
Started getting a lot of bug reports. We weren't really getting many. These have been out for, like, our attached wallets have been there for a long time, but people just haven't been using them. So we started to get a lot more bug reports on them, and we're able to, you know, which is great because we're going to be able to improve them more and more. Nothing really that I remember. You know, Justin Shocknet.
What do you say?
Oh, he wants us to introduce his new NIPs that he created for
you could just plug in his Lightning Pub, can't you?
Yeah, we'll allow you to attach Lightning Pub to it. So if you're running Lightning Pub, we'll allow you to use that to pay on Stacker News. Yeah, but overall pretty good. Just a lot of active conversation about.
I think it's fine. Look, you got
solutions.
CoinOS, Gaubi. There's a million options out there.
There's plenty. There's a lot, but they'll get better, and we'll have more options for people to choose from as time goes on.
I think I'll probably have to set up the Plub Lab one to be connected, but other than that one, I think mine will just be.
Yeah, I'd be really curious. Yeah, you have because you guys run a Voltage node.
Yeah, I think we'll just do this one, or mine will just Voltage.
They have a Lightning address.
Mine will just be Cowboy Credits, probably. I'm going the same way Darth is about it.
Yeah,
to me, I'm actually here for the community, if that makes any sense.
Cowboy credits aren't bad. You'll still be able to earn rewards. You'll still be able to earn territory revenue in sats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So all of that, but you can't zap another stacker sats.
Oh, but they'll get cowboy credits.
But you can zap them. You can send them cowboy credits.
In-game tokens, bro.
That's basically what it is if you aren't using a non-custodial wallet. But hope is...
But the option is there if you want to go,
if you're ready, sats. If you're ready as a Bitcoiner.
If you're hardcore, if you want to make sats and you want to do it the hard way, then do it. And
yeah.
But it'll get soft. Like, somebody will solve it in Bitcoin, and then we won't be so hard anymore to do non-custodial stuff.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, I think Breeze is doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
We'll see. Albi Hub has definitely stepped up. They provide a pretty streamlined solution. I think it'd get even better over time. I mean, maybe like one click connect your Albi Hub would be great.
This is what I'm trying to say. Like, these kind of hard lines and doing these things forces people to provide solutions. And you only get this way either through catastrophes, someone being a stubborn person, or having conviction in a direction that you're going. And I think yours is the conviction in the direction that you're going.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Stubbornness. They're all kind of the same to me. But.
Catastrophes?
Well, not a catastrophe. That's
what I'm saying. You usually see this like after major.
Yeah. Events. You need something to force change.
Yeah.
And some people are just like autistic and they force change on their own.
Yeah. That's what you want. You want the right direction, the right vision, all that stuff. All right, cool. I think that's all of it, right? Joe, did you have any other meta, or was that it?
That's pretty much it. We have two new badges in addition to the cowboy hat. You can now earn a gun. That's right. And you can earn a horse.
Good thing you're not on the iOS, man. You wouldn't be able to have that on Tim Apple's phone.
Oh, I don't know about that. But
it's true.
These badges are really hard to get. Only a few people have had them. I haven't
How
even
do
got
you get
a horse.
This one?
I haven't even got a horse yet. That is undisclosed. It's redacted.
So is that from an attached wallet? You get the...
They are relate, as I've disclosed, they are related to attached wallets. It's very hard to get. I haven't even got a horse yet.
Oh, I love that horse. Fudge. Fudge. Goob.
That's right.
Dang it. Someone tell me over the weekend. Somebody tell me in this.
Most people do not know.
Tell us how to get a horse. Tell us how to get a gun. And then I'll figure it out. I want one of those. Can I get those with in-game credits or no?
No. It's only related to attached wallets. It's a part of the. I mean, the whole point is to incentivize people to take the. You know, take the.
What
hard
are you going
to
do for our in-game credit people? Like, don't I get?
You
like
a still get a cow. You got to keep.
Don't
it
I get
hat?
A Chuck E. Cheese like thing where I can pick like. Other stuff.
I mean, you're in kids mode. You don't get a gun. You don't put a kid on a horse. You get them.
You get a water gun.
Maybe I'll give you guys a
donkey
or something.
Can I get like a water gun and
I'll give you guys like a toy horse, like one of those horse heads on a stick.
Oh, you know what you should do? Did you ever see? You saw Back to the Future, right? Oh yeah, Back to the Future. Like you should do the rope.
Oh, the rope.
Yeah, the rope or the train, or a wagon.
A wagon might be cool. We have too many. Three is already too many. We need to figure out how to concentrate them.
No, you should just do like a hover where it just like...
You hover over
something
like and it's like here and there's like a scene of
all kinda the like goods that. Yeah, kind of like that. What I just hovered over. I don't know what that was.
It's probably a name.
Yeah, it's just like...
If you hover over a NIM.
Yeah, then it shows up.
Yeah. That'd be cool. You're right. That would be a cool thing.
You Maybe should do it. You can finally do a general store now. Let us in-game token people have a general store.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to do a general store. It just, you know, in terms of priorities, I have people, you know, nagging me about
all the territory stuff.
Yeah. More real stuff.
All right.
And you're making pretend online goods for them. So.
We're already living on this. I visit Socrates very often.
This virtual prairie.
All right, cool. Let's jump into the temp.
Steers.
No, top stackers. Wait,
tip stackers.
Every time. Not every time.
You go to top, then you go to stackers.
I just threw off my thing this week. I'm rusty. It's been 2 weeks since I've done the show.
It's a lot.
Cool. Top stackers of the week. We don't know. We got Gray Ruby. So Gray Ruby has Gray Ruby. Say it on your podcast. How do you get a horse? How do you get a gun?
Top five. Gray Ruby doesn't know. I don't think he does. Maybe he does. He's probably going to keep it secret. He probably wants to get in the lead first.
I think he does know. We got, look at that. It actually makes it more. Look, how can 117 only. Oh, no. So can people just have a horse?
People can just have a horse.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We got top cowboys, the most boring segment. Oh, wait, no. Most popular segment in Bitcoin, the cowboy segment. I'm sorry.
People come around from all over the world.
People come around from all over the world to watch the cowboy segment.
This segment, they...
People are sad that you're not going to be at TapConf to do a live Stacker News.
Oh, that's right. I have my hat.
There you go.
Okay. Forgot about my hat.
Last week, you guys were both wearing it. You couldn't even... It was just, it was a lot of yellow.
People loved it. People love this hat more than the segment.
Probably.
Anyway, I'm sorry I can't go to TabConf to do this live, but
Stackers.
I went last year. It was great. It's a great conference. I like it.
Well, I'll try to bring somebody on. I'll try to get on Mike from Toonster. We'll see. We'll see who's around. We'll pluck them from the
I would love to talk to the Fartcaster founder.
We get far. I mean,
if they can speak words rather than body sounds.
Blockchain boop. Number 6, Great Ruby. Number 9, still stacking after all these years. Number 12, R-Sync. 16. Yeah, I don't see too many R-Sync posts these days.
He's still doing it? He's trucking still.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not a... I guess there's not a whole lot of news, like, stuff.
Just that, news?
Yeah, not news a whole is, lot of it.
News has kind of dropped down that we're in a bull market, you think?
We'll see. I think we'll start seeing more product announcements, more releases, more like, ooh, look at this thing Bitcoin did.
Yeah.
More sailors.
Got emerge. Max there, number 30.
Yeah, Max is keeping it.
Desert Dave. Cool. That's all the... That's all the comments, or all the cowboys. Man, dude, I just threw off my whole thing.
Yeehaw. You threw off what?
I think not doing the show for a week, it really throws me off.
No, you're a creature of habit.
Totally.
That makes sense.
Let's see here. We got the Fountain Boost real quick. Let's see what they said last week. We had some people here. They said, they had to say something. Let's see what they said. You may have checkmate, but we're playing Chinese checkers. That was from last week's episode from New Ryan. What does that mean?
I don't know. Someone probably said something about chess, maybe.
Oh, okay. Or got Blockchain Book said Zap.
Zap.
And yeah. Cool.
The Boog.
Watching books everywhere. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
Let's see. What am I doing? I'm going to do a note. I'm going to upgrade our Lightning node for Stacker News. I'm going to fix some bugs. We have a lot of bugs related to these new wallets that I need to fix are upsetting. And what else? I don't really know what else. Oh, I might watch the new horror, what is it? Quiet Place? The new one?
Oh, I saw it.
Is it good? You didn't like it?
You'll like it, knowing you, actually. I was thinking about it. I was like, will he like it?
But it's from the writer-director of Pig, which I really like that movie.
I think the only thing I didn't like about it, I love the beginning. I love the setup and everything. But somewhere in the middle, it just like didn't make any sense. Just from like a just from a plot perspective, it was just kind of like so why did that happen? And yeah, it got kind of like whimsical when I was like, the series has never been whimsical, if that makes any sense.
Okay, well that it's consistent with the writer director.
Yeah, it got a little whimsical, so that's what I'm saying. You'll probably like it. You like stuff like that.
Yeah.
That, like, it's just like, oh, why did they do that? And you're like, oh, that's... No, it's because it's deeper talking about something that
has... Yeah, some abstract meaning.
Yeah, and I'm like... And I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, that's the dumbest thing ever. I don't see it. No, but it's good. It can actually connects. Did you ever see part two?
Was there a part two? Then I have seen it, I guess.
So have you seen part... Have you seen part one? Part one,
I've seen part one. I believe I've seen part two, probably.
Okay, if you haven't seen part two, it's kind of good because this one will make everything full circle, I guess.
Was part two still done by the same guy?
No, I think it was done by the office guy.
Yeah, but he did part one.
Yeah, he did part one. Part two was amazing, dude.
Okay, then I probably seen it. If that was a few years ago, I'd probably seen it.
I never watched the Harry Potters, and I started last night to watch them. They're actually pretty good.
Have you read? Did you ever read the Harry Potters?
No, because I was old at that time. I was already doing my cool stuff. I was like, Harry Potter.
I read them as I was.
Oh, you did?
Getting old, and no. I read them all. I thought they were.
So you waited outside the lines of like?
I mean, there's a version of reading Harry Potter books that doesn't involve you being
those people. Because I worked at a mall at the time, and I was like, can't believe.
Which people store did you work in?
I think it was at the... Oh, which store? Oh, I won't say.
Oh, man. I won't say. That's like such kind of, a plot point.
Though. Well, I don't want to say that people are like, oh, totally, I can see that.
It's like an Apple store.
No, people will be like, oh, that guy, fuck yeah, car would work there.
Were you like in one of the center stalls?
I don't want to talk about it.
You were selling like hair extensions?
I'm just going to not talk about it. Dude, I'll tell you what, though, like working in a mall, it's a whole village. It's a whole village. I had everybody knew my name and stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a center stall, right? You're selling like cell phone accessories.
No, it wasn't a center stall. Your broken glass. No, it wasn't a center stall. How dare you?
There's nothing wrong with working at a center stall in a mall.
The way you said it, though, was like, oh, you worked at a center stall?
I mean, it's a certain class.
No, I didn't work at a center stall.
Was it like, what are those like slushies you can buy? Orange Julius?
Oh, no, I wish, dude. I wish. I had friends. So that's funny. Like, when you worked at a mall, like, you had friends at all these places. So you would just walk over and be like, hey, can I have one? They'd give you one. And they're like, well, I'm going to come over there. Can you give me your discount? And you'd be like, yeah.
What's the pizza place they have at malls? It's I didn't have a pizza. You know,
it was no restaurants. It was actually like a, not like a department, like an official department store, but it was like a store where you'd be like, oh,
yeah. You're at like the Gap.
No.
Oh, you were at like a hot, you were Hot Topic, weren't you? No. Oh, you were such a Hot Topic guy.
No, I can't say what it was. I don't want to.
That's where that wallet chain comes from.
I don't want to dox myself.
JNCO jeans.
No, people were wearing JNCO jeans at that time. Oh, they already had passed.
I see.
Anyways, that was hilarious. All right. Snackers, go out this weekend. What's a good Cowboy movie? Oh, what did I already share?
So, what other? Cowboys and Aliens.
I shared Wild Wild West.
We talked about Wild Wild West. Yes, you shared, I think, it wasn't Lone Star. It was...
Oh, that's
The Unforgiven or something.
Yeah, sure. You know what you should watch, Stackers? Bone Tomahawk.
Oh.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, that one's great. I love that one.
You should
watch
that one. That's a really good cowboy movie.
That's the one with like the ladies, right?
No. Bone Tomahawk is the one where the Indians like kidnap the.
Yeah, but that's where the ladies are like in a cave, right?
No. There's no ladies in there. It's all the tomahawk people.
No,
wait,
but
is there a lady?
Remember,
no, the lady got captured in there.
No, but there are several ladies who have.
Oh yeah, crap! Okay. I totally forgot about that.
Remember that? That was.
That's horrific.
Yeah,
maybe skip through that part.
No, that was a great part.
That was wild.
That's like one of the most memorable.
Wait, is that in that movie?
It is. I think.
I thought that was.
That's the way I remember movie. That movie. Is by God. That scene.
Dude. I remember the movie at the end, the ending part, with the tomahawk was just like. Anyway, you should watch it. It's a because it starts. It's so good because it just like starts off really slow, and then there's normal. Like a whole story to it, and then the old man, and it just gets. It's a good Western.
Yeah, anyways. Very modern Western.
Yeah. All right.
Well, is that my cue?
Mm-hmm.
Zap. Usually say my name, so I don't know if you have